기조금올라가오다바깥내오름이물어가약간바
깥 I just woke up, so I'm you know, I'm in a foggy state of not being here, but being like I'm branding it right now.
Oh, so you're Worgen.
I'm Worgen right now. Yeah. Are we on? You're on?
Yeah.
A stop. Go ahead.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
A stop sign ain't nothing but an octagon. An octagon ain't gonna tell me what to do.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Is that it? I thought there was a theme song.
I told you not to talk.
Oh, sorry, dude.
Shit. I told you not to talk. Fucking Franken.
So stupid.
You're the Frankenstein of fucking comedy.
Fuck.
What is that? He's like, look at him. He's thick and he's good. Mm. Listen, I'm not gonna sit talk to you yet.
What?
All right. So I just woke up.
Mm-hmm.
I have to introduce and I have to do something. Now, over the years of being the celeb king and being a leader and being a hero to many and also being not to some.
Yeah.
Not a hero.
Yeah.
I've developed certain things to survive in life. And I've developed a thing called the tralai.
The tralai.
Yes. The tralai is your truth and a lie at the same time. And I'm going to call it because I have to fucking do Eric Griffin's podcast.
Yeah, you're gonna do it, right?
No, in Century City after this, and I'm gonna get out of it.
Wait, why don't you want to do it?
Because I'm gonna show you this new word called the tralai.
Oh, so, yeah. So you actually technically can't do it. You just want to show us.
No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it because I had 2 hours of sleep last night. I'm so fucking tired. Right. So Eric Griffin, and then also
2 hours.
I just turned up. Yeah.
It's 1 o'clock.
I know.
It's 1 o'clock.
But you know, you come in here.
No, do your
You location shame me because I don't live in a fancy house like all your fancy friends, like Joe Rogan and everybody, right? You come in here, I fuck my girl. You come in here, you know what I mean? You know, you're putting your heat in, and I don't want it. Don't put your heat
there's
in.
There's no heat,
all right? So I'm telling you right now, I got to call Eric because he's really looking forward to it. And
I
then,
love Eric.
And if you laugh, he's going to know.
Okay.
Right? So you pretend.
Don't tell him I'm here.
I'm not gonna.
I don't want to be associated with this.
Okay.
Yeah, just tell me.
Good.
Not
that's
here.
All right.
Shh, don't tell me. You should have FaceTimed.
Yo.
Hey, man. Is there any way to push today or no? Because something bad happened.
No. What happened? You all right?
My favorite uncle died.
My favorite uncle died. Excuse. All right.
No, I'm being real. What are you talking about?
I'm kidding. I'm just teasing you. I understand. It's all good.
No, but are you going out of town this weekend?
No, I'm not here this weekend. But we can go tomorrow, Thursday.
You're in town this weekend?
Yeah.
Let's do Thursday. Anytime Thursday. I'll even get up early.
I'm going to see.
Or I love you.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Just let me know if you need anything from me.
Oh, thank you, man. I'm just devastated.
I understand.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, you're a
professional.
No, my uncle, my favorite uncle did die.
Eric's
a long time ago, though, huh?
But way long time. So that's true. Thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Tralai.
So you're tralying. You're right. I'm not lying.
That'll hold up in court.
Right. Thank you. And so
I actually approve of this.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm gonna steal this move.
You don't have to steal it because I gave it to you for free.
Yeah, you did.
I'm teaching here.
But it's your move. You're dropping.
It is my move. It is my move, and I need credit. So now, you've broken so many rules since you've been in here.
I'm so sorry. I don't know the rules. When I walked in, I felt like it was racist. I went, should I take my shoes off? And then as soon as I said that, I went, fuck, that's racist.
Yeah, that's racist.
Sorry, dude.
And can I say that? And I'll tell you why you're like this. You're like this because, you know, you walk around in life, you know, you're a winner. Okay? Like
depends who you ask, but yeah.
You know, you're a good-looking guy. You're a bigger in stature. You're like the Bane of comedy, you know? Thick muscle, back muscles.
He's like a Clegane brother.
Right, he's like a Clegane brother.
I don't know.
He's successful in all these little arenas that he goes into. Mm. Right, he did the UFC, you know? And then he goes, when he woke up one day, I want to do comedy and do podcasting.
Mm.
He did that, killed it on that. And this is the kind of trickster this fat at all. Sorry. Thick. You know, he's got a thick dick. Mm. He's got a thick head.
Mm. Yep.
Everything about him is thick.
Okay.
Small. And he,
it's true.
Yeah, my head's not big.
No, no, that's true. But he's also a deceiver.
How so?
I'll tell you how. You didn't do my podcast for a little, you know, when I started it, and then one day you came up to me and goes, when am I going to do your podcast? You kind of gave me shit about it.
Correct.
Right.
At the Comedy Store.
Great.
When I saw
you remember. Yes. You remember.
I remember this.
So then I go, holy fuck, we got to get him on. And how many times have I asked you to be on this since then?
Here's the problem, Bob.
No. How Here's many times have problem. No, let's answer the question first.
Multiple how, times. Multiple yeah. times.
Oh, thank
Here's
you.
The thing. Monday night? Monday night? What the fuck, man? Monday nights?
What's Monday night?
I got a three-year-old.
What?
I got a three-year-old. I could be playing grab ass with you on a Monday night.
You have children?
Yeah, I got a three-year-old, man.
Why don't you say so in the front? Every time you had kids?
Yeah, I just thought I was bullshitting.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
If I'm not working, I'm at home with the kiddo, man.
I know, but Monday night is...
How dare you? Monday night?
What is a Monday night?
And then when
is
you left, me and my friend sat
Bob
around...
On? Is SpongeBob on Monday nights? Is there...
Who What's works Monday nights?
Everyone.
Just Monday Night Football.
All right. So that's it. You have that children.
Yeah, and then it's at night too. So it's a bit of a beast. So I went, if you can move it up, I'm here, man.
But you do stand up at night too?
Not on Mondays.
Yeah, but you
I
do
I don't
it.
Work Sundays and Mondays. My only 2 days
off. Oh, those are the two ones. Oh, so you look at it as like a Monday through Wednesday, 5 day a job.
Correct.
Oh, that's a good
but
way.
But even Mondays, now Monday days are packed. Because I record two shows.
Oh, with The Rat King?
Nope, I do Below the Belt, which is just me for Showtime. Then I do Firing the Kid with Brian.
Ooh, so The Rat King deceived you.
No, me and him do that on Tuesdays.
Oh, you still do it?
50 shows.
He's talking
what the
about
fuck?
Mondays.
Oh, I thought he was, I thought he
no,
had
that's
fucked
on
you already.
No.
I thought he had fucked you already.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
I'm going to say this, though, about him. Prepare yourself.
Yeah. He's a little crazy.
Prepare yourself. I love Theo Von, but there's stuff going on beneath the eyes.
The dark arts is what he calls it.
I call it the dark arts as well. Okay. He's getting big.
He's getting famous.
Yeah.
Selling tickets on the road.
I know. He might do some things that are very Dan Cookish. Although we've had Dan Cook on the show. We love him. Before Dan Cook 15 years ago. Oh fuck.
We're not gonna edit that.
You're
talking about the MySpace Dan Cook.
Yeah. There we go, Brendan. There you go. Yeah. Right. I wanna say this too. When I see you around, how am I towards you?
You're the best. And that's the reason why I came. And I want to tell this and tell your fans this. When I was doing stand-up, I'm super self-conscious around other comics. And you're one of the one guys who's always been in my corner. Always. So I love you for that.
But the reason why is this is because I know how stand-up comedy is cruel.
Yeah.
Right? And I just know how people can be. And also, I didn't say that just to say it. I saw you.
Yeah.
A couple of times. And I made an assessment in my mind. You know, like when you see certain people do stand up that don't normally do it, and they're doing it because they kind of were successful on something else, mm-hmm. and they moved over. A lot of times, it's fucking annoying.
I would say the worst.
It is the worst.
Yeah.
Actors have done it. I was going to throw some Piven.
That's fair.
That's fair, right?
That's fair.
Piven. You know, Rappaport does it now.
Mm-hmm.
But you're more like Rappaport's starting, but you guys are kind of in the same category of just, to me, it doesn't seem intrusive because you guys are already like funny and cool and you guys just seem like comics to me. There's certain actors that do it. And you're going to go, what?
The audience can feel it too.
Yeah.
They can feel it. If they're on the lineup, you can feel the mood change.
Yeah. But, you know, you're just an enigma, man. You do podcasts, you do this, and it's so difficult. How do you feel, you know, going from the UFC to this? I mean, and you've become successful at this, much like Theo was on he doesn't want people to know, but he was on Road Rules.
Yeah.
And one time I brought him up that way.
He did not like that.
No, he didn't like it at all.
And
he
pulled one time aside. I roasted him for it, right? You know, because we have a show where we roast each other. Yeah. I brought that up. I could tell it hit a nerve. I've never touched on it again. I was like, you know what? Too far.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, but
that's the line.
Yeah.
All right. But, all right. I'll back off from there.
But how is that too far?
I don't. It's his history. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure he could bring up some stuff that I don't like. We're like, come on, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I brought him up like this. Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen a comic go from like an MTV, like, you know, he was a beach body kind of a guy on that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He had like, he tinted the tips of his hair. He was buff, good looking.
He's
white
on Road
guy.
Rules.
He was on
Road Rules. Babe.
Yeah.
I never saw it, but I'm just assuming that's what he looked
like. It's the real world, but on a bus.
On a bus.
Okay.
A
same shit.
Yeah.
But he still probably did all that stuff, right?
100%.
Okay, thank you.
But he was also only like 19, wasn't he?
He was pretty young.
You're a kid.
Or was he 30? I don't know. Or was this last year?
You never know. You never know with him.
We don't know.
You don't know with him. But, and so I brought him up that way, and he goes, after the show, can I talk to you for a second? I go, yeah. And he goes, can you just not bring that up ever again?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? He's like, I guess it, but he should be proud of it because he did this, Road Rules, and then who reinvents himself to become like now a comedy institution.
But I relate to that with Theo. Like if you brought me up and went, all right, everybody, give it up for UFC fighter. After I'd been like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Will you drop the UFC thing? You know how hard I've worked in this business so I don't get labeled a UFC fighter? Mm-hmm. So for Theo, I think it's like, dude, real world, that makes it seem like a gimmick.
Yeah.
I've worked my ass off. Don't refer to me as the MTV comic. Like that doesn't help me, man.
Right. Because that was only one season of his life, right? 3 months versus 10 years of working on a craft. And now you just revert back to him being a real world guy. Mm. I mean, Road Rules. It makes sense.
Ay, shkai. Kumade, hangado e. Sunduye, sunduye.
Plus, Road Rules is not on anymore.
When I'm doing this right now, I'm irritated.
I bet. But I bet there's things that
Now let me say something. Okay?
If I brought, I'm sure there's things that if I brought you up, you're like, dude, really? Like okay, some old school
try,
shit.
All right, then try.
Well, you've done some great stuff.
No, I want you to bring up something if I did in the past. Hold on, that's gonna make me feel weird.
Not feel weird, but if I only referred to an old Mad TV, you know him from Just Mad TV, like, dude, that was 20
years
ago.
Right. Yeah, but to me though, being, you know, on a sketch show, it's the same ballpark.
It's still
in
the
same
line of comedy, so it wouldn't be as
horrible.
Yeah,
you're not going to be ashamed of it. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think it's shame. It's just setting him up incorrectly.
It's shame. Well, for me, for the longest, I was ashamed of my UFC career. When someone brought up, like, dude, ditch that, man. Quit asking about that. But so I just think it for Theo, it's like, he doesn't want to be labeled as that. Same way I don't be labeled as a meathead or a fighter.
Right.
Yeah, but
like,
you know,
don't put me in that box.
Yeah, but okay, so I get it. But if you're playing at the Comedy Store, it's fine. I get it. You know, I get it, and I never did it again. You know, and with you, if I brought you up, I would never have mentioned UFC, I don't think.
You don't. You're great about it.
You literally started the podcast with a song that said Octagon.
Stop sign Octagon.
Yeah, but that.
Give it on or some
shit. I know.
It was kind of catchy, though, so I didn't mind.
It was a Stephen Pearl song. Stephen Pearl was a comedian from San Francisco back in the late 70s, and he started with Robin Williams and everybody, Brian Bradley, all these guys. And I saw him perform when I was a doorman at the Comedy Store. He used to play the Comedy Store in La Jolla back in the 90s, like twice a year. And he dressed like Elvis Costello. He had like brimmed glasses. He wore like a teacher's like 70s coat.
Sounds awesome.
He had pins on it. And he would go up and sing songs. And one of the songs he would sing is this one. A stop sign ain't nothing but an octagon. An octagon ain't gonna tell me what to do. And it used, and then he go woo, and the audience would be dead silent, right? And I would be in the back of the room as a kid, you know, as a, with my Comedy Store.
How old are you?
Cackling, like 24 years old, and I'd be like in the back laughing, right? And he'd go, hey, you like that song? You know what I mean? I go, yeah. So why would you sing that?
No one else likes it.
No one likes it, and also you. He had no. He would do it, sing like that.
Get out.
In between jokes that it was no...
That was his transition.
Yeah, there was no transition. That's what made it like weird and quirky. Like he would tell a joke about like Clinton, right? And they go, a stop sign, right? And then and you're like, wow, that's crazy. But That's why I say it had nothing to do with the thing, but now I see the relation.
I love that guy though.
And then you try to location shame me, huh?
No, we walked in. I just said,
"What was the question?"
Were you shocked at the condition at which we live?
No.
Be honest.
It was right in line.
Be honest.
Why do you keep laughing? Though, why are you laughing
now? When you
you were coming at me. I think it's. I wish I could do my podcast out of my house so I don't have to leave.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, you...
no.
Why are you laughing?
It's that awkward laugh.
Yeah.
No, what I think is, because this is a successful show, and I think it's really cool,
oh my God,
that you guys do it out of here, which usually I'm used to doing, going to studios and stuff like that,
This is a studio. It's not a studio, babe.
No, I'm saying it's cool that you built this here.
Are you shaming us?
Yeah. This is a studio. I made a studio here.
No, it's cool.
All right. No, listen.
It's just now I didn't know. No one gave me a heads up.
I know.
Because they're like, Bobby's just waking up, so kind of pipe down. I was like, wait, he sleeps in the studio?
Did you think you were coming to a studio?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had no idea.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, he slept. He was working all night, so he slept in the studio. Wow, I like the work. I like the work.
Yeah. People sleep here at night.
You know,
yeah, my family.
His family from the Philippines sleep here at night. Yeah.
Really?
We push the tables back, we vacuum, and it's like Amistad in here.
There's literally three beds here.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
That's true.
You don't smell it?
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
It does have a funky smell.
You son of a bitch, you did it again.
No, what? No, I like
you're doing,
it.
No, you,
no, I
you're,
like
you're
the funk.
Doing it again.
I like the funk.
Oh, like funky cool.
Yeah.
Funky.
Yeah. Like, oh man, this is awesome. This is ethnic in here, in a good way. In a great way.
Thank you. You fucking ass. You're a deceiver,
in a
man.
In a good way, man.
No, you're a trickster, dude.
So how many people live here total?
This is not some sort of fucking 22. Human trafficking business or anything
like
that.
I'm trying to figure things out, man.
No. We live here with six animals, mm-hmm. and then when her, like, you know, island gook relatives come mm-hmm. to visit, mm. they, nine of them, ten of them sit in here.
That's cool.
And they make stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask you, too, because you do so much stand-up, and also you did fight in the UFC. It's so funny because I'm kind of a big UFC fan, and when I saw you perform before I even knew that you were in the UFC, I saw you do stand-up. So in my head, and I knew that you were doing a podcast with Callan. So I went on to UFC, my fight pass on my iPad, and the first fight, I go, oh, he fights, and almost died in that one.
Did I?
Yeah, which the first one.
Was it?
I forgot which one, but I remember like the first.
Probably a Nogueira one, I would assume.
It could have been
maybe the Roy Nelson.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
There's some bad ones.
It was
ones,
probably
yeah.
Roy Nelson.
Yeah.
Because I was probably the one, because I knew who Roy Nelson was.
But you hate it when people bring this up.
Not really. I mean, I've gone on some comedians' podcasts mm-hmm. where it's supposed to be a comedy podcast, and they just talk like real X's and O's about fighting, mm-hmm. which I hate.
Yeah,
I'm like, what are we doing?
I'm not doing that.
I'm not saying you are. I'm not saying that. But now I'm so far removed from it.
Yeah,
I don't really care, especially with Bobby. Bobby gets a free pass whatever the hell he wants to do.
I didn't do
he can't do
that.
Anything.
You opened with you nearly died.
Yeah, that's not great. Now. Yeah, that's not the best, but
no, I saw.
Should we bring
you,
up Theo's real world shit again?
No, but
we've just been over this.
No, but
hey, bring up the highlights of Theo on Real World. Can you do that, bro?
No, I was
the Tiki Chat episode.
Brandon,
no, I'm just kidding.
No,
Brandon. I wasn't doing that. I was just being honest.
Yeah, so you went to it.
I went to the Fight Club. You almost died.
Okay,
and I'm like, oh, that's why he's doing comedy. You know what I mean? But that's not the truth, because then I saw other fights and you were good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely won more than I lost, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what is even the fucking question I was going to ask you. The question I was going to ask you is, because I know it's nothing compared to it, but I was on a wrestling team in high school.
Okay.
And we used to go to these tournaments, and I remember being so nervous because I had to cut weight. And then I don't know, there was, ask my brother. My brother.
Wait, what? Tell Brendan what weight class you were in.
98 pounds. 105.
This is high school or
high school? High school.
Like, that makes sense.
I was a little guy. I'm genetically small. Okay? You guys want to shame me?
Nothing wrong with that, man.
Thank you so much, Biggie.
Nothing wrong.
Thank you, Thicky. Yeah. You know what? I like you, man.
Thanks,
you and I,
man,
should do like a movie where the big guy, little guy kind of a movie.
Yeah,
like
buddy
a buddy
cop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like Arnold and Danny DeVito?
We should remake Twins.
Twins.
You could be a quarter of Asian, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You could be. Yeah, yeah.
You'd be whatever.
Yeah. But do you, now, so did you get nervous before UFC fights?
Fuck yes. Terrified.
Really?
Terrified.
But is it different than the kind of nervous you would get when you did stand up? What's more nerve wracking?
Different, because then when I was fighting the UFC, it's like, it's a terrified feeling. I'm not terrified to do stand up. I'm scared about failing, but I'm not terrified. And then also, let's say I have a set tonight at the Comedy Store. Let's say I bomb that. Well, I can jump over the improv and kind of redeem myself. Mm. In fighting, I'm terrified because, A, if I make a mistake, I'm going to get really, really hurt. I'm going to get really hurt, mm-hmm. and I'm going to get embarrassed in front of all my family and friends. And I'm getting half my paycheck. And it's going to make it harder for me to get a title shot, you know? And I'm going to end up in the hospital. Right. And then it's just the stakes are so high.
Wow.
And it's like, it's the pain business. So when you go into a fight, you're going to get hurt. Even if you win, you're getting hurt. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough gig, man.
Yeah.
It's a really, really tough gig.
And also, people are really quick to jump ship. I think when a comedian has a bad set, that's generally forgivable. But someone like you, who's like, I consider to be like a fair-weathered fan, where you're like, you wanna, and Ioana loses once, and you're out.
But that's how it is. But in comedy, now, to that point, in fighting, they can be that way, and then that fighter might fight 6 months later, and you're going to tune in and watch. Mm. If Bobby releases a special and it's dog shit, those people are going to judge the shit out of him. They're going to jump off Bobby's ship.
That's true.
Right.
That's true. But I'm talking about just a regular Comedy Store set where you're like, oh, you're working out material. He'll have that room to.
Right.
Wiggle, but not when
But he's also so, I don't mean to interrupt you, but he's also so. So cemented as it's so fucking good at comedy. Yeah. He's like one of the funniest guys in the world.
Oh my
and
God.
Also, no one wants to follow Bobby. So if Bobby, my God. This is all true. So I had to follow him the other night. It was terrifying. So if Bobby has a bad set, he's so like, he's almost like, it's like Anderson Silva, right? Mm-hmm. Anderson Silva looks like dog shit right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I'm Anderson Silva of comedy?
Wow.
Whoa.
Like you've put in so much work and there's so much history
that
it doesn't matter. Bobby's good.
Oh, that's interesting that you
Anderson
say
Silva's
that.
Good.
Yeah.
DC's good. John Jones is good. Mm-hmm. Connor's good. These guys, certain guys, Ioana's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably over for her. She's fine.
Yeah. But can I just say about the Ioana thing? All right. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's not the first time, it's the second time she lost. The second time she lost to, there's something that happened with Ioana where I think
that's fair.
That when she was living in Poland, she was winning.
Before she had a stylist. She's wearing those bullshit polos.
Oh, right, God, right. Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, she becomes like champ, or she loses that one. Then she has a stylist. She has like makeup on. I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now?
And she's on a boat.
She starts perking up her titties on Instagram.
I see her on a boat with like, she's taking photos of her feet.
Yeah.
And like her tan. It's like,
I knew it was on.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
not a good way. I knew she was going to lose.
Right.
I knew she was going to lose.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because not only because of that, but she didn't own it mentally. Remember, she lost that fight and she blamed it on everyone but herself.
Yeah.
Blamed it on her trainer, her nutritionist.
Right.
Everybody, but didn't own the loss. I went, she's fucked that next one.
Wow. Yeah. And then she's lost three now, right? In a row.
Rose, and then
she fought somebody. No,
Valentina.
Valentina,
oh, yeah.
And she
lost.
Well,
yeah, she was gonna lose against Valentina.
Yeah.
I think that was more expected.
She lost three in a row.
Three in a row.
But that was at 125. That wasn't at.
But
loss is a loss though to the fans. Know. You know.
Thank you, Brendan. You know. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
To me, though, the reason why I liked her so much is because she was so much superior over her competition at a point. I like watching that. I like watching sometimes.
You like watching greatness.
When somebody is just so good.
Me too.
Right, that they're like untouchable. Like if I'll
These
rewatch.
Freaks.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'll rewatch like some older John Jones fights or older Anderson Silva fights because I just like, you know, I like when somebody's dominant.
I like the idea that there's something like almost magical to it.
Yeah.
Like when Connor was going on his run
or
when John was going on his run. Stylebender's doing that now. Mm-hmm. Like you can go back and watch these fights and it's almost like a higher being what they're doing. So it makes me believe there's something else out there.
Yeah.
But then when they lose, you're like, ah, fuck. Nope.
Yeah.
It's just regular. Yeah. She regular dude. Just like everybody else.
But it's so funny that you were able to like, now what happened in terms of what made you quit UFC and then go into comedy?
Fighting happened just because I had no other options. I'm not naturally a born fighter. I don't like to fight. I'm not an aggressive person. You know, I don't like to hurt people.
Can I ask, honestly tell you something?
What?
I was saying, I said this to like Andrew Santino or somebody like that, and we're talking about you, and I said to, I go, I can't believe that dude even fought in the first place.
I can't either.
Because he's such a soft, nice kind of a gentle, you really are, and like I've a gentle giant.
I've always been, and I'm even in training, my coach is like, you gotta get meaner, man. You gotta hit the guy. I'm like, I don't want to hit him. Like, you have to.
Yeah.
So to me, they were smart about it. They spun it as like, it's just an athletic competition, man. Just beat that guy. Yeah. You don't have to hurt him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just beat him. And that, I didn't have that mean streak in me. It was never there.
And there was one fight I saw you do where you got knocked out or
did
something.
Did you watch any of the wins?
All the losses.
And then you got up from the thing, and I almost going to cry because you had this look like, duh.
Oh, yeah.
You had this look. And I go, oh, this is my friend. You know what I mean?
I'll watch back now if they replay a fight on TV or whatever, ESPN. I'll watch back and be like, I don't know that guy. I can't believe I
did
that.
You're different. You know, it's my hat's off to you. I'm being honest, and I'm going to say this right now, and I'm getting emotional.
Tell me if this is real emotion or if he's acting.
No, I'm being real
because he's a good actor.
No, I'm being real. Is that it's almost impossible when I see guys like you. There's only a couple examples. Mm-hmm. Christina Pazitsky is an example. Mm-hmm. You're an example. Theo's an example. There's only a few examples of people who were doing something else, right? And then we're able to reinvent themselves. But here's the thing, folks. The reinventing part, it doesn't happen right away. Mm-mm. You have to fail for years in a row, which is what you did, right? Like, right. I remember when Theo, I started seeing him come around. He wasn't the guy he is now.
No way.
He was just figuring it out.
Yeah.
But to do that, to be brave enough to make a choice like that, and then to become funny, dude, I'm telling you right now, you're like getting spots that are like prime spots at A rooms in LA. That's fucking difficult to do, dude. Like, you know, it took me years to be able to get at like Saturday Night Laugh Factory.
You know, I'm ashamed of it. I'm almost, I'm super self-conscious about it. Because I feel like, because they'll go, hey, when you post this, I'm like, ah, do I have to tell everyone I get this spot? Like, can you just put me up last?
Why?
Like, I don't know. But I don't know, because I didn't put in the same work you did.
No. You can't think that way, because here's the deal, bro. Is that if it was just you going from the UFC straight to stand-up, if that was it, maybe, but no.
Yeah.
Because what you did also was Brian Callen, okay? Brian fucking Callen is one of the funniest, and we have to agree on the one of the most intrinsically funny guys you'd ever meet in your life. I honestly, if I was on an island and I could pick four people to live forever, he wouldn't be on it. But like, he wouldn't be on
it. No, because after a week, you want to kill him.
Yeah, I want to kill him. Yeah,
you
want
to eat his face.
If there was like 1,000 people I got to choose,
he'd be
one of the 1,000. Okay,
that's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You don't have to see him.
No.
Yeah, you can still live on the other side of the island.
Yes.
But he's always been one of those guys where like, oh my god, this guy's so. You ask, you know, if you've met him, everyone knows. Mm-hmm.
He has so much talent.
But he did a podcast before Fighter Than Kid.
He had 19 listeners.
Yeah, which I did. And I remember saying to myself, oh, you have to driving there, I was like, you have to do it. He's a friend.
You didn't try to trelly?
No, I didn't trelly. No, I did trelly by saying, I'm a fan.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But I wasn't a fan of his podcast, but I was a fan of his company. I trellyed there, right? And I remember doing it going, no one's going to listen to this. Right? And then one day I see a post or something about Fighter Than the Kid. Didn't know what it was. And then I realized, oh, it's Callen's new thing with this guy. I think I've seen this guy around, this big guy. So when it became a hit.
Yeah. And I think you have the funniest moment on there. I think they posted it. You have the funniest moment on there. We were talking about getting molested. I'm telling you, it's the hardest I've ever laughed. And I kept interrupting him, so he would go back and make it worse.
Oh,
he'd make the molestation worse,
dude.
It's the funniest.
That was a funny moment.
Podcast.
He's designated a day of the year called National Molestation Day, where everyone is obligated to give him gifts on the day that he was molested.
We get fan gifts all the time on that day.
That's when, like, was it November 19 or something like that?
You watch Game of Thrones?
Do I ever?
No.
Favorite show of all time.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Good, because we want to talk about, because we haven't talked about it.
Not yet.
Mm-mm. Really?
The final. The
worried last about episode. Spoilers or some shit?
No.
Don't worry about
no,
it.
No, let's release that.
Yeah. Let's do it. What'd you think? Just see, let's. I'm gonna ask you this. Season 8 in general, what do you think?
Love. Absolutely love it. There's a lot of haters out there. Wow. And they're like, oh, the story and all that. I'm like, shut the fuck up. That thing's so goddamn good. Episodes 3 and 5, ridiculous. Jaw dropping. Better than any movie I've seen in the longest time.
Right.
Episode 8, the finale, wasn't a fan. But I didn't like it. I didn't leave satisfied.
Right.
I wanted more out of it.
You're right.
I don't like the way it ended. But the season in general and everything. Anytime someone's getting famous or a show's getting real popular, the cool thing to do to get attention is to hate on it. So everyone's hating on it, right? Mm. Because that's going to get you attention. I thought it was brilliant, man.
Yeah. I rewatched The Long Night, which is the third one you just mentioned.
Oof, dude.
And what I did was I watched also the other day Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, The Last Fight, you know, because I heard that there was comparative, they were comparing, people were comparing the two wars and these and things, and God, The Long Night outshined. I mean, the Game of Thrones was beautiful. I mean, the CGI is amazing. But what I and people complained about the darkness of the third one.
I like that.
I did too.
Me too.
It felt like I was experienced what they're going through.
That's very good that you said. Yeah, it felt real in that way.
And have you heard the director? He goes, that's exactly what they wanted. People are like, oh, I can't see. He's like, they can't see.
Yeah,
they're battling these fucking monsters.
Yeah. It made it scarier, yeah.
Yeah, I was scared.
Yeah, and then there was one shot where Sam Tarly is standing there, right? And this is when they're attacking, right? And he does a thing with his eyes, and I think I think it was just an organic acting thing that he did, where it was like darting.
Like, he's looking at when the flames are going out.
Yeah, even after the flames are going out now, and then now he hears them like running toward him, and his eyes are darting. It's only a 2 second cut to him, right? I got the fucking chills, bro.
Yeah,
You know, it was great acting by him. Everyone, even like Brienne goes, "Hold your," she goes, "Hold the line," something like, or whatever.
How
like,
she didn't die, I have no idea. But yeah,
why? Well,
I thought she was going to die in episode 3.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why?
Oh, because she...
Because she was in the front row. And they just knighted her, so I'm like, oh, she's going. Yeah, she's
dying. Oh, that, you know,
because we cared about that character so much, she's going.
Yeah.
The people complained that not enough characters died that episode. Yeah. I wanted so much... When it ended, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Standing applause, just fucking...
Me too.
Yeah, me too. Me fucking too.
It was so good.
Too.
I think that everyone is so quick to shit on it, but it, like... I managed my expectations of the season. You have 6 episodes to wrap up so much in such a small, like those parameters are very tight. So for what they delivered to me was perfect.
But also any angle they go, the reason why you love Game of Thrones is usually it's pretty unpredictable. So that unpredictability is what people like. So now in this season, if the narrative's not going the way these people want, they get online and complain.
Yeah.
But the negativity on social media, that's what people do.
I mean,
that's
what they let do. Me defend.
Because if I post, oh man, this is great, you're going to get 1,000 comments of people being negative.
Yeah.
Let me defend, though, the people that are complaining, okay? I get it, all right? You invest, it's more than 8 years because they took a 2-year hiatus.
I didn't, you know how you binged like 4 seasons, like 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, I started 2 years ago.
I started... 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. It doesn't matter. We
but
saw
what
the same
thing.
Exactly.
I love it when people are like, bro, I've invested 10 years. I'm like, cool, man.
Yeah, yeah.
2. We saw the same shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people invested 3 weeks.
They use that as a reason as to why they're more upset than the other other people like you started 2 years ago.
Right,
but I'm
right.
saying as someone who watched it 8 years in, I was still perfectly happy with it.
Yeah, but you can, I understand that, but I also understand why people are sad about it because they, a lot of people, like, you know, invested all this time. You know, I think people get hooked on the show because of, you know, when Ned Stark gets beheaded. Like, these moments.
Yeah. But
the Red Wedding, moments, right?
Oh, the Red Wedding. You kidding me? But also, don't get that into a goddamn show where it affects your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's great. There's also dragons in it. So let's relax a little bit.
There's
also dragons.
I see what you're saying. People get so obsessed and they make it... Like, my brother got the tattoo
of the Stark.
Of the Starks on sigil of the Stark on his arm. I know.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's too much.
It's too much.
Yeah, and I'm the one
good
that
for him though.
Yeah, yeah. I forced him to watch it.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, look.
I'm like, dude,
why
I'm in.
You do that?
I love this guy.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, if Game of Thrones, there's people have so much invested in this as fans.
Yeah.
There's not a scenario they could have done this last season where people would have been stoked. No matter what they did, whatever, however you want to end, however you want to end, however I thought it should end, doesn't matter. They're going to piss off this group of people. Mm-hmm. They can't win in this. It's kind of like when they do comic book movies. The nerds are so into it, and they have an idea how they think it should go, even though they've never written a script in their life.
Yeah.
They have an idea how they think it should go.
Yeah.
So there's so much hate. There's more hate than anything on comic book movies.
You think about, you know, because I've been in shitty things. I've been in some good things, but I know generally how things are shot. I've been on movies, you know, and I understand what people's jobs are, what cameras, director, what everyone does, video village, all these terms, the jib camera, you know. But like, but you realize even when you're on a shitty sitcom or a sketch show or something, that there's still many, many hours of preparation, right? You have props, sets, you know, rewrites, you know, there's just so much pressure. Even on some, like a late night show like Mad TV that was like, you know, people like running around like a chicken with their head cut off trying to figure this out. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Right now, imagine now with the whole world watching, with millions of dollars at play, right? And
you're off script from the book. Mm-hmm. So that base that you started, you got to branch out to there.
Right. So that's another pressure, a different animal, right? So with all those things in play, that's why I give the showrunners and HBO a pass. Because it's like, you guys did the best you can. You could tell, I mean... Even the last episode, even though we didn't like the way it turned out, right?
I didn't complain.
Yeah, I didn't complain either. But here's how I wanted it to end. Mm-hmm. Remember, Podrick has Bran. He wheels him into the council meeting. Tyrion's there. Everyone's there, right?
Bran's getting on my nerves.
Bran the Broken?
People hate that guy.
Yeah. What, he gets on your nerves?
Yeah, I don't like
him. Why?
He's getting cocky.
But he's the king now.
Yeah, I know.
What do you think?
Dragged through the snow as a cripple.
But here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing. The entire 7.5 seasons, everything, he's like, you know, I'm just happy to be alive, and you're exactly where you're supposed to be at. I don't want anything. And then they roll him over like, do you want to be king? He goes, why do you think I brought my ass here?
Yeah.
Well, now you want it? Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Maybe he wanted it the whole way.
Fuck you,
Brendan.
I'll play the game. Because like you could have saw it.
Hey, this is something you don't even think about. Either
get nobody in the, out my face,
bro. Sorry, my bad. here's the thing, dude. And people don't talk about it in the show. The guy can't use his dick.
No, they told that. Can't father children.
His, right. They mentioned called them out.
Right. So now imagine how he gets off. He has to warg into a pigeon.
Get fucked.
Raven, fuck, it's a raven.
Whatever.
It's a crow,
and the pigeon's fucking, and that's how he gets his shit off.
Kind of cool when you think about it.
Yeah, but let me say something. If you're into pigeon pussy, are you into pigeon pussy?
I don't know. Never been there.
Right. You're not.
But that's
because their pussies have feathers in it.
That's what makes the greatest ruler, though. Because if his dick is useless, then it's not going to drive his ego
sex.
At all.
Yeah, you're right.
I know, but
he's
still,
gonna be a fair
he's
and
still.
Just leader.
You know, I'm just saying. When he became king, I'm like, okay, at least give him that.
Think about
give
it. Everybody who was a eunuch in the show, Grey Worm,
asshole.
Varys. No. But he was
asshole.
He was a slave for his whole life. Yeah. What I'm saying that
overkill.
There is a little bit.
Overkill, like you know. You know, all the fucking, you know, the Lannister army or the Golden Company, they're tied up on their knees.
Prisoners,
right? And Jon Snow, motherfucking Jon Snow, goes, "Hey, man, you know, just let them go or put them in prison or whatever." He's like, "No, they deserve." And he slices their neck off. That's a little too overkill for me.
It was pretty intense.
Yeah, but here's how I wanted it to end.
Jon Snow was driving me nuts too this season.
Why?
Especially the last few, he did nothing.
I know.
Like a glorified extra.
He was just like,
"I don't want it,"
and like, I'm like, "Dude, speak up."
Except his presidential speech before they burned all the bodies.
And whose voice was that? That was not his voice.
Was it not?
That was a weird voiceover.
Oh yeah, that was a weird voiceover.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
I was like,
"You're right."
Yeah,
that was an ADR.
Yeah. I didn't notice.
Yeah, I did
right
notice
away,
it
I'm
too.
Like, that's not my.
It's
Jon
so
Snow.
Funny you said that because when I heard
Commander.
It,
that's not my Mr. Snow.
You're right about that. But the way I wanted to end is this. Just let me hear me out now, guys. Okay. All right. The council's there, right? Podrick brings Brand the Broken in. They have a couple of conversations. And then Podrick turns the thing around and takes him out of the room. And then Brand turns around a little bit. And you can see his eye, and it's blue.
Oh, you wanted him to be the Night King.
I thought he was.
And then if they ended it that way, we would have all been like,
"Thank you,
give it up."
That's right? Brilliant. We would have been like, brilliant. "What?" We wouldn't have slept for a week.
You know what my theory was, and that's fucking brilliant. That's a great.
Thank you.
That's great. My theory was Bran. He was showing Jon Snow. It was all a dream. We've been watching this dream because he didn't want to take the throne. So he's shown him what happens if he doesn't man the fuck up and take the throne, what should be his. So I think maybe it's a dream. I'm like, people are going to be pissed. How are they going to tie all this together?
Right.
I thought maybe that was it. Because they did the character development, they cut early. I'm like, maybe they're doing that because it's a dream. Gives them an out.
Yeah. But how long is this dream, though?
Yeah, exactly. People are going to be pissed.
If it was 7 years of a dream,
I would have been furious.
You.
Yeah.
Yours is way better. That's fucking brilliant.
No, let's not compare.
Dude, that's great.
Mine's pretty good.
Mine's terrible. Yeah. Mine's
terrible. My dream.
Stupid,
theory.
Man. Yeah. Stupid. The whole Game of Thrones entire dream, Brendan. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but that's interesting because what you're saying about him being the Night King, all that stuff, there are some things in the show that they fail to explain, right?
Like
for instance, the symbol of the... You remember like when a couple episodes ago, it was right before the Long Night, when the Wildling and that other guy from the Night's Watch...
Kill the boy.
And the boy was against the wall, and that symbol that they used with all the limbs.
They show
that symbol a bunch of times, you know?
Don't know what it means.
Yeah, I mean, it's more, you know... And when they throw something out like that, they're like... Oh, this is so deep because we're gonna figure out what that all means.
And you never
really pay it.
Were you guys upset how Cersei's death?
I like the way she died because of it was a very insignificant death, and I think that's what Cersei deserves.
I wanted brutal death for her.
That's what she wants, an audience to tell her story about how she died. There's still an ego in death, and the fact that she a rock
deep girl.
You
deep,
know, deep killed
cut.
Her
just took a
with
deep
no
cut.
Audience.
Deep cut.
No.
Yeah, then it's like, wow, that's a death you deserve with no audience and no story to tell. Dude, no one even fucking find your
it
body.
It was a cool love story, the way it ended. Very Romeo and Juliet.
How do you think, if you were writing the show, how would you have killed Cersei?
See, I don't know if you give the Arya Stark that much power. I thought she was going to kill her. Mm. But then, she killed the fucking...
Night King.
The Night King and her? That's too much.
Too much.
How about the Hound and the fucking mountain battle?
That was a great scene.
When he died by fire.
But it's also...
Remember that one time when he was in the woods and he saw the flame? That's how he basically died.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're brothers. What kind of brothers?
But he wasn't him. The mountain wasn't the mountain anymore. And plus, the mountain was a shit human when he was still not when before he was Frankenstein.
Yeah, they didn't like each other even before. But remember the joust.
He's the reason why his face was that way.
Yeah.
I thought about what I would do to Cersei, and what I would have done is I would have tied her up, stuck a glass bottle in her vagina.
Who's doing this though?
They didn't have glass back yet then, but carry on.
They didn't have glass.
When did you ever see glass in the entire series?
They had like goblets and
stuff. I would like to defend myself.
Dragon glass?
No. Dragon glass was a rock. Something you mined, some sort of rock.
There was a couple of buildings.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's a stone.
I've seen stained glass windows on some of the buildings.
Ooh. I don't think so. No, there's no windows in castles, bro.
I don't like your tone,
I'm
friend.
Sorry. You know
now,
what?
Let me say
I
something.
Fired up
look, it up. Look it up. Look it up. Look it up.
Back then, check the dates. There's no glass.
Was there any kind of glass?
There was plastic.
There was water bottle plastic.
Oh my
God. But I would have taken a glass bottle, stuck it in her vagina, right? Okay. And then taken a mallet and just shattered the glass in her vagina.
That's going to kill her, but okay.
That's definitely not.
You know what I would have done? Remember how Daenerys' brother died?
Why are you like this?
Oh, with the melted head?
That's how you would have done?
And melted her.
Oh.
And then we just watched like, yes.
Mm. Are you still looking up the glass?
Yeah, there's glass.
I would have liked for Jamie.
I don't know. He's on your team, bro.
No.
What'd you search? Glass.
Yep.
Dragons.
Game of Thrones glass.
I would have loved for Jamie to kill her.
Yeah, that would have been sweet.
Yeah. I thought that was
you never would. He was such a down ass bitch.
I thought in my head because he was like, "Oh, I have to return," and I was so convinced that he was returning to kill her.
Oh no way! I knew he was going. Stop. That's his. No, he's so down. Oh, I thought that was romantic. Get your woman, dude. Get your fucking woman.
Can I ask you another question about it? Last thing I want to say about it is: you think Brienne and Jamie? Do you think Brienne?
I
mean,
I found that I found that awkward. And they're having sex Buzz's girlfriend.
So
woof.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt complete opposite. Yeah. As what was I doing? I was.
She was like
squealing. Yeah,
very excited about
because
it.
She finally got some dick.
What is that?
Because she finally got dick.
No, I just thought that they. I like them together.
She's out kicking her coverage. He's a dime piece. It's not gonna work. That's not going to work.
That's not going to work.
In what world? Yeah. I believe more in the dragons than her pulling him.
Yeah, there we
That's
go.
Not working, man.
That's the exactly dragons. What I'm saying. I'm so glad you said that because I was saying that, you know, but all week.
I was like, come on.
Yeah, yeah, I was saying, oh,
Jamie
yeah.
Jamie Lannister's, come on.
Yeah, come on.
But you
yeah,
know
yeah.
what? I'm into
They've got off script here.
You know what? I'm into the avant-garde look. So I like when people show skill, even though they're physically not, you know, necessarily like, or they don't. They're not prototypically good looking.
See, she.
I like skill, and yeah. I think that's so attractive. So if I was Jamie, my dick would get so hard just watching Brienne wield that sword. Mm. That's what I'm attracted to.
Well, that
I'd be more attractive if she was hot wielding that sword.
I know, but she is dating me because of that fact. Because yeah. she said a long time ago, like physically. Let's be honest. Physically.
What?
Why'd you cool. laugh like that, you fuck?
Because you're admitting. I disagree.
Well,
I disagree.
Don't smile. I'm going to tell you again, all right?
Your skill outshines
Don't smile.
Because as. And you. Hold on. Let me justify this. Yeah, yeah. You've lucked out because, A, and you know this. I'm not hitting on your girl. You're very pretty, but this wouldn't last if you didn't have the personality. So you can also get, you know, a pretty girl. But you're lucky because she has a brain, right? And she has a personality. So that's what you're attracted to at the end of the day. Is the same. You guys are attracted to the same thing.
Yeah, because
looks
so.
Goes out the window.
And I honestly
Jay-Z's sick of fucking Beyonce.
You're right. Find a pretty girl and I'll find you a hot guy who's sick of fucking her. But what I'm saying is he's not wrong because I think that if I were a four, I still truly believe you would date me and love me and be in love with me.
Oh, I disagree.
Me?
Yes.
I disagree.
I don't know.
Fuck.
Was that the point? Was that the point I was making?
That was the point you were making.
No. The only reason it worked is because you're really hot, but the reason why it's been the longevity is because your personality.
No, let me ask you this. No.
Because you wouldn't have got in the door if you look like Adele.
There we
go. You know what I'm saying?
But if you somehow.
Shout out to Adele.
I love it. I think Adele's hot.
I
think Adele's hot, by the way.
She's so hot.
I think she's hot, too.
Yeah, thank you, babe.
You're so dumb with that. Adele is so hot.
Adele?
You're so dumb.
Hey, you two. Yeah, if she couldn't sing, you sure as fuck wouldn't be saying that.
She's a cute coffee girl barista. She looks like one of those baristas like in Phoenix.
She looks like Amy Schumer.
No, she doesn't look
better
like Amy Schumer.
With a better face, and she can sing.
She doesn't look like Amy Schumer. You're in your fucking mind, dude. No. She's cute.
And she has the winged eyeliner. She's so cute. All
right, yeah, when she's in concert, then when she goes back, it's like Chris Farley.
Whoa. You're going to give a pound on that? What's your fist about?
No. Yes! I pounded up. Yes, no, he agreed. Fuck yeah, he agreed.
I'll tell you why.
You're the only cool one here.
Brendan, I'm going to defend Adele real quick, okay? You can tell that Adele, right?
Sweet person.
Not a sweet person. That she structurally, she has a beautiful face. Mm-hmm. She. What you're seeing is that she's a little heavier.
I like thick chicks.
Really?
I don't like fat chicks.
Yeah. Now with Kalila, I want to say this. She hooked me in with her looks, but if she was in a car accident... And then she looked like Harvey Dent.
Yeah, you're out.
No, I'm in because
I'm
I love her now.
I didn't know where you're going. I don't know where we're going.
For sure out. For sure out.
You know what, though? You're not wrong.
But what hooked you was originally the looks. If she looked like. If she was busted, you'd be like, great personality. We'd definitely be friends.
Yeah, but you know what? He has been with really hot chicks in the past.
But they don't have personality.
It's not so that. This is the first date I spat inside his mouth and I backhanded him. That's what hooked
Here's
him.
The thing. If you were hideous and spit in his mouth and backhanded him, you'd be in prison. Like, he's not he's not inviting you over to the crib.
He'd press charges.
So you think that I get away with backhanding him because I was
on the
cute
first
at that
date
time.
On the first, the only reason you got away with it. When people go, looks don't matter. I get that. I agree. At the end of the day, it doesn't. But looks matter initially. Initially, the looks is everything because it's all we know about you.
You do have
that's
a point
what Bobby's attracted to.
I my sister the other day, she was on a plane and this really fat, creepy guy kept hitting on her daughter.
Does she look like you?
And no. My niece is a very, very pretty girl. And she was getting hit on by this like really fat, grotesque
with
man.
Juliana?
Yeah. Oh, and my then God. Her mom was getting really upset, like, that sick fuck. Why would he even, she's like 16 years old. And then I was like, well, honey, that's her name. I'm not kidding.
Oh, okay.
I was like, honey, what if,
great name.
What if he was like, what if he looked like Brad Pitt? Oh, he'd be allowed to stare. And it's true. Like, we have double
because that's all you
standards.
Know about him.
Yeah.
But that's all you know about him is like this creepy fat guy. And
they're creepy when they don't. You know, live up to a certain,
but I don't think there's
like,
anything wrong
standard.
With that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But it's kind of fucked up, though.
Why is it fucked up? But because we are, it's in our DNA to like pretty things. Babies, when they see people, they are attracted to the more pretty, well-defined face. It's what that makes them happy. It's not my choice that I don't like fat girls. It's in my DNA. It's my taste.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Am I a bad person for this?
No, I'm sorry. No.
Should we go back talking about dragons?
Listen, Brendan. I met Kalila on Tinder, and
why
did
you swipe right?
That's exactly what I was going to say. So I go ugly, Long Beach. She seems a little Asian.
A little Asian.
Right. So initially, you're right. I found her. You know what? I found her legs. She had a couple of photos of her legs, too, that I really liked.
Her but it was her face originally.
Her face, but then her legs also was the closer.
Not
the
whole package. Single picture of my leg on there.
There was, no, there
was like pictures of me
free diving. No, what happened was
your legs are on there.
I did some research, too. I went onto your like Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah, yeah.
And found her physically attractive.
Yes.
Then it just so happens that you have a ton of personality and your guys' souls mesh together.
She was also the first girl I saw naked. Right.
Can we not go?
The first girl ever?
No, I've seen.
It's getting weird, man.
No. I've seen.
It's the first naked body I've seen since that Down syndrome.
But when
no wonder you're keeping her tight.
Yeah, but when I saw her naked, I've done this before, but rarely, where I look at the body and I look up at the heavens
and you realize there's a guy
and I go, thank you.
Me too. Thank you, baby. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only happened like twice in my life.
Me too. Yeah.
But is that why you ran away midway through the first time we had sex?
Yeah.
You ran?
He ran.
It was too
away.
Much for me.
It was too good.
Like he just got up
and
left and then
I left.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's scary.
it was like literally like, you know, it's like getting what do you mean? Why are you laughing?
No, I'm recalling it now. I remember feeling like, what the fuck?
I remember
where
it being
it was so
too
good, yeah.
Imagine playing Pong.
Okay.
In the early 80s, right? 70s, right? And then all of a sudden someone gives you Red Dead Redemption right after that.
Oh, straight up.
Gives you like a PS4, like check this
shit. Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and you're like,
I
don't even know how it works. Yeah.
I don't want to ruin it.
The colors and the definite, you know.
You're a PS4.
That's what she was.
You're a PS4.
Yeah. I was doing Pong, right? And some weird, like simple shit. And then she came along. I'm like, this is fucking technical.
Yeah.
Right? This is very technical.
Graphics card.
That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. She, I love
Brienne.
Her.
Do you guys want, kind of. Do you guys want kids?
He does.
Mm-hmm. I think Bob would be a great
dad.
Why do
you
say that?
How were you able to decide?
Wait,
who's like,
answer?
Whose
phone
kids?
Is this?
That'd be my manager.
Oh.
Why?
Yeah. Probably giving me the ratings on my special, which I don't want to find out.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you did a special.
Did a special
how
on Showtime.
Nerve wracking. Yeah. Like to just sit and wait and then like.
I don't want to know. Does it matter? Mm. I mean, it was trending and doing really well on Friday, which made me happy, and I celebrated with my brother in New York, but I don't really want to know. It's just going to hurt my... It's not going to help anything. Mm. Like, it is what it is. A special... It is... It's the best I could do.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good, but what are we going to do?
You never live in the results.
Correct.
You just do the best you can.
Correct.
And you did it. And can I say this too, Brendan? That's not your last one.
No, correct.
You're going to do another one. All right. I didn't realize you had one, but congratulations.
Oh, thanks, brother.
It's on Showtime?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Debuted on Friday. It's called You'd Be Surprised.
You'd Be Surprised.
And you get, if people are like, oh, I don't have Showtime, that's fine. They, if you do Showtime.com, promo code SHOB, you get 30 days free of Showtime. Oh. So you can watch my special on demand. So
it's, oh, it's, wow.
It's, yeah.
Cool.
So you're good.
Where'd you shoot it at?
Spreckles Theater in San Diego.
Spreckles.
Ah, Spreckles.
I love that because that's, I grew up there. I remember like Margaret Cho played Spreckles a couple times, and that's a nice little theater.
It's my favorite place to do comedy, San Diego. First time at Spreckles, but La Jolla Comedy Store is my favorite club in the world.
Why?
Really?
By far.
That's my home.
I know. I don't think, and this is, I've been doing comedy for 3 weeks, so hear me out. Yeah. I don't think a special should be shot in a theater. I don't think the medium's made to be shot and felt inside that many people, especially arenas. Mm. I think it's made to be performed inside a club like La Jolla or like Comedy Works or the Ice House or at the Comedy Store or the Main Room.
Really?
I think so. After the small experience I've had of shooting a special, I went, oh, I wouldn't do a big theater again. Mm. I like the intimacy.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting because I want to do one too. I'm going to do one in the end of the year. But I
are you gonna do one?
Yeah, I'm gonna do one. But I wanna. I'm trying to think it to myself.
It would fucking crush.
I'm gonna do one.
Oh, I can't wait, man.
Yeah, but I'm. When you said that just now, I think it just changed my whole thinking.
I'm telling you, brother.
Would they shoot in the main? Is the main room too big? You think?
No, I think the main room's perfect, especially for someone like you. The main room's amazing.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense for you to do it in the main room.
But the problem with the main room,
you can feel it, man.
Yeah, but it's not only that though. The problem is that in my head, I don't want other comics for some reason to be able to come in and out of the main room.
They're not going when you're shooting a special, they're not going to.
Yeah, but
it's Bobby Lee's fans, and then you're gonna have some people there, but when they're shooting, it's different. They're not gonna be able to come in and out. And everybody's just waiting for you to do this. So no one goes, I don't want Bobby shoes. Everyone is praying that you shoot a special.
Right. I would do two in one night. Correct. And then edit it together.
Yes.
That, you know, that's so funny that I made me consider that, the main room. But here's another thing I would consider is La Jolla because that's where I started.
I think
why do you like La Jolla?
I like La Jolla. There's certain clubs where I can, I don't, it's going to sound crazy. I can feel like the history, I can, like it means something when I go in there. And it's like, it's smaller and there's so much tradition and history there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel there's certain places, I'm a real sensitive person. There's certain places where I feel the love. Like when I'm at the Comedy Store, I feel protected. When I'm at the La Jolla, I feel like I should be there. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe it. There's certain places I go, I'm like, I should not be here. But when I go to the Comedy Store, especially La Jolla, I'm like, I should be here right now. This is exactly what I should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, when you brought that up, it gave me like a burst of nostalgia, you know, because I started there. And I remember, you know, when you don't know what you want to do with your life and you're confused, and you don't have a plan, and you know, you're praying to God, like, what am I going to do in my life? I have no education. I have no skills. You know, I'm an okay waiter. You know, I'm okay at making coffee, but you can't make any money doing those things. Mm. At the end of the day, like, how am I going to buy a house?
Yep.
And when I was 23, I got a job at the La Jolla Comedy Store as a phone guy. I was a bar back, but I also worked the phones. Mm. And I remember being there during the day. And now, imagine not ever thinking you could do comedy or be in show business, right? And now you're answering phones at a comedy club at that that La Jolla club. So during the day, there's light that goes through those little, you know. And I would sit there by myself in that place and answer phones and take reservations. And I remember feeling like I was in a church. Like I don't know what a feeling. I don't know what being in church feels like.
Right,
but that's what it felt like. It felt like I was on some sort of like holy ground, and that who knows what's going to happen in my life. There is a photo on my Instagram of me working the door at La Jolla.
That's so cool.
And but when you brought that up, though,
it triggered some of those memories.
Yes,
I think too. Like when you're doing La Jolla and you're staying on the in the condo that's on the beach.
Wait, you stayed there?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. Yeah. You know about that condo?
Yeah, I do. So that you know they've redone it. So I've stayed in it three times or twice.
Yeah.
But they've redone it So it's all new now, so it looks amazing. Before then, it was a bit of a beast.
Were you there when it was bad?
I was there when it was bad.
Blue, when it was blue.
It was terrible.
I'm going to tell you what happened.
But hold on, before you get to that, the reason why, it could have been just a bed filled with roaches. But to me, I've heard stories where Jim Carrey stayed there, and he was my hero. Mm. So I just wanted to be like him. I wanted to stay there because Jim Carrey was there, and then do shows at night, and then just walk around and eat fucking fish burritos. Oh, like to me, that felt like God. To me, like that. It's the first time I was like, I don't know. It's like it's almost like comedy heaven when you're doing that.
Mm.
Like
you if there's sold out shows. About that condo than he does.
I bet.
Like, I would never stay there. There's a nut on the
wall. No,
I'm sure. No, more nut, the better for
there
me.
There was a guy
like, did Jim Carrey nut on this wall? Yeah.
There's this guy named Steve Moore who had HIV. He was a gay comic. Mm. And when I first did a weekend in La Jolla back in probably the late 90s, he was staying at the condo, him and this other gay guy named Brian Bradley.
All right.
And I was at the condo with them hanging out. And they were going, Bobby, in their early 80s, me and so-and-so, we did a weekend here, and Brian came down too, and we were at a gay club, and then 60, 70 dudes showed up at this condo, and we did a train.
Yeah. Oh, man, a lot of
all
fucking,
the door, yeah, and we nutted all over the walls. That's why it's so blue in here. We nutted on the ceiling, right? So every time I would...
Why you gotta ruin this, when you go?
No, that's why you were talking
that
about.
That place was special to me,
that's
man.
When you were talking about,
now I can't go back there, man. I was a guy. I would get on the walls. I'd rub my burrito on the walls.
Yeah. And he also had HIV, right? So every time I go God in that condo after that, I would.
Well, now I'm not staying there.
I know. But that actually happened. Imagine all the things that
how
happened.
How dare
there.
They ice the wall?
I know.
That's still part of history.
It's a part of the history,
that's
man.
That's what makes that place great.
But it's so funny because I know where that condo is. I know when you during the day when you wake up, there's like a cool breakfast restaurant like there.
The beach is right there.
Mm-hmm. And when you said that with the Jim Carrey and the history, and then you staying there, you know, overnight, and being also not from the comedy world, but from a different thing, and now you're in this world, and now you're doing it for real. Wow! What congratulations,
oh,
man.
Thanks,
that's
not,
that feels so cool, man. And that's why I always told you. You know, there is something about right. There is something I like what you're doing in your life.
Oh yeah,
you're a very funny guy. You're a talented guy.
He does stand.
He's an actor. Yeah, he does everything. This guy. He's from Second City in Chicago.
He crushed his first time doing stand up, and it was obnoxious.
Yeah, he the first time he went up, he crushed. He's
How many
very
times
talented.
Have you done up since?
Two.
What the fuck are we doing?
I know. What are we doing?
I don't do stand up.
Yeah, but you can do it.
You don't want to.
Right now, I just the grind.
Oh, you don't want it bad enough.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm out. What are you saying?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, I don't have time.
Exactly.
I don't have time for it either.
But I just give me a second, okay? What I'm saying though is that I know you're reluctant on doing it. Look at your fact. You're already fucking.
No, I'm
you're
trying
rebellious.
To, I'm trying
you're always rebellious already,
I'm listening,
right?
I'm listening.
And I know that, but being that, because I go on the road and, you know, you don't think that now I'm in the audience and people go, Licks. Yeah.
It's her tagger name from high school.
Yeah. Gil. Yeah. People know your names, right? Mm-hmm. So what that makes, it makes me aware that, sure, you might not be able to sell as many tickets as me, but you would sell some. And that's still more than most.
That doesn't sound like a...
Are you telling
me to go on tour?
He doesn't want to go on tour? He doesn't want to do stand-up?
That doesn't sound like
because he
very...
can sell seven tickets on the road?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Endorsement, babe.
No, what I'm...
But you want to be an actor.
No,
yeah,
the fuck...
I'm trying to pitch shows and stuff.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Yeah, you better... I would pick one. Yeah. I'd pick one and ride with it.
That's what he's doing. He picked one and then really went full force with it.
That's exactly what you do. Because comedy's too tough. If you're not all
it's
in,
tough.
Man, you're
I know, but
like George is all in.
With comedy,
it doesn't sound like anyone's all in here. Besides Bobby, no, he's in too. And he went, not really.
Oh no, let's not get into this.
No, I don't want to get it. I just need to say this.
Yeah,
I want to say
create
this.
Conflict.
Is it? I'm pretty
have
sure.
Have you ever heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect?
No.
It's when people are so certain that they are skilled at something and are completely delusional about actually not having that skill.
Sure.
That's the Dunning-Kruger effect.
What skill does he think he has?
Stand-up.
Stand-up.
You need an opener?
But you've never done... Hilarious.
Do it. Do it, Sean.
You've never done stand-up?
Oh, I opened for Bobby now.
He opened for me in Irvine, and can I just say this? It was like... It was almost as if I went to Africa, right? And I just went into a kid who had the big belly,
starving, dehydrated,
and just brought him on stage and go do stand up.
And that's how
he would do better than him. I mean, this guy right here, right? Oh my God, he came. We knew that he was going to do stand up. He drove all the way to Irvine, and we had our phones out, right? And we were laughing at first because he was eating it so bad.
That's great.
But then Remember, what did I say to you? Light him.
Oh, that was like 5 minutes in.
I know, 5 minutes. I said
but
light
also,
him.
But also, I'm assuming the crowd knew who he is.
No. Well, they
have an idea.
Yes.
Now, try that at like the Comedy Store where no one knows who you're out.
Yeah.
You're not going to last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
That wasn't the worst part. The worst part is him.
Pulled out his dick or something?
No, the worst part is...
That would have crushed. That would have crushed.
That would have been the closer.
Like, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
Hail Mary.
It'd been awesome.
He thought he did brilliantly.
He's one of those.
That's Dunning-Kruger.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
You're not one of those.
No.
That's how... You know how I can tell you're not? You know how I can tell you're not one of them?
What?
Because you're self-conscious about
super self-conscious
about you even I because when you started going to the comedy clubs we even talking to you could feel that you were kind of self-conscious like you know what I mean yeah I'm doing it you know
like
what I mean
like a punter on the football
you know what right. You're right
I'm on the
you said
team
you're sensitive right
yes
so maybe you're more like an empath so you can sort of gauge how
I'd
like
rather
your
be a guy to go I bombed then I killed.
There's nothing. I have a trigger when people are like, dude, I just killed that. So I'm like, all right, well, let me talk to the audience.
I know. All right.
Easy, bro.
Yeah,
easy.
Yeah.
Because I've seen, but here's the other thing is it's maybe it's why I've gotten where I've got, I guess, fast, quote unquote. But at the Comedy Store, I'm watching the best of the, it'd be like, if you're like, I'm going to try basketball. Mm. Let me just go check out this All-Star game. Holy fuck, these guys are good. Like, that's the level.
That's another reason why my hats are off to you, because you're now going to these places. I told this to the Rappaport too, Michael Rappaport, because he was nervous one time. We're behind in the main room. He seemed a little nervous. I'm like, yeah, but dude, you're in. This is the A. This you're. I mean, you're competing.
That should be more nerve wracking. I think
it's way more nerve wracking.
His nerves should be worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yours should be too, though.
100%.
Because you're playing. Yeah. I don't understand how you do that. Like, because I was raised in that room. I've been in the Comedy Store since 1997.
Yeah.
Right. So I know every facet. I know everyone that's played there. I know I've done the Tonight Show.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't brag,
but yeah.
I wasn't bragging.
Okay.
You know, right, I'm just sorry. Giving you facts.
I know this. But,
all right.
Yeah.
You fucking goon.
I know, dude.
You're a thick faced goon, huh?
Would you do the Tonight Show right now? Different time, right?
Jimmy Fallon?
No.
You know who's bigger than all those shows? Joe Rogan.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what, our Johnny Carson's Joe Rogan.
Yeah. I agree.
I know, and he hasn't asked me. I haven't done his show in five years.
I bet you if you do a special, you will.
No.
You don't think other comics are frustrated you haven't done a special?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons why he doesn't have me on.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he's frustrated. He's frustrating. I frustrate him.
That's what I'm saying. You frustrated everyone.
Why do I frustrate you?
You don't frustrate me. I want greatness for you. I think if you did a special, it would absolutely crush. I think if you were on Netflix, it would blow people away.
You know, you know what, dude? It's so fucking dumb. I'll tell you how dumb you guys are. Can I tell you how dumb you are?
Please do.
Callan does the same fucking bullshit.
Different animal.
But Callan does it. Brian Callan will walk up to me and goes, man, you have so much potential.
Potential?
Yeah. And no, I look at him.
We're past potential.
I know. But I'm like, because people try to motivate me.
I'm not trying to motivate you.
People try to motivate me.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Right.
You have great sense.
And I'm sorry.
You don't have to do anything.
We're way past our time, Brent. So we're going to do the thing called unhelpful advice, but I'll lead you into it.
What are we doing? Unhelpful advice?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was reading my text. I apologize.
I love so your family.
Some girl, Charlotte, just texted me needs money.
Let me ask you something.
I'm going to invest.
You've done other podcasts before. Would you do this again?
Your guys's?
Yeah,
100%.
We'll be in a much better place.
No, we bought a house. You know that, right?
Oh, love it.
And there's a studio. And we have a nice place.
Oh, I love it, man. Yeah,
yeah. But we would love to have you back when we're in the new place.
Literally, whenever you want.
I just can't believe this is the first time you're doing it. Me I mean, neither. We've had a bunch of people on mm-hmm. a bunch of times. And
you've had all my friends on.
Mm-hmm. And I've asked you so many fucking times. It was just a Monday times, night thing. It was just a Monday idiot.
Night thing. The Monday night thing's not going to change. So it's either.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
We'll be here.
Yeah. We'll be here. For you, then we'll wake up on a Tuesday on early in the morning.
No, and keep on keeping up. Like,
because I woke up early in the morning to wake to do your.
It was 1 o'clock.
Fine, I hear that's you, morning. I'm a comic. Yeah, that's right. Morning no, for
me too. I got up at 6 a.m. Not a big deal.
Your kid though, what is that?
I always get up.
What
at
is
6.
That? What is that like?
It's the best thing in the world. Makes you realize that like none of it really.
But going into it before he was born, did you? Have
I was so selfish. I was so selfish. Selfish because I'm in entertainment and as an athlete, you got to be kind of. A narcissist. It's all about you. The world revolves around you. Then we have a kid, and I'll be honest, everyone goes, dude, right when he's born, you have this connection, it's gonna be crazy. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. He comes out, I'm all, not really there. He's just like a football with eyes. He needs his mom. He needs his mom so bad. I'm like this side piece that makes sure that they don't die.
Yeah.
But like his grandma's there and they're taking care of him. I'm sleeping on the couch. I'm like, this shit sucks, dude.
Yeah.
And then probably like 3 months into it, he starts to get, you know, a little bigger, like figure things out. And it's the best thing in the world. And like I've done cool stuff in my life, man, through football, you know, even sniffing the NFL and playing in big college football games, fighting the UFC in some biggest fights in the world. Sold out arenas. I mean, sold out theaters and stand up and shooting a stand up special. Just bought a Ferrari, like bought my dream house, right? I'm not bragging. I've done cool shit, man. Mm-hmm. Nothing compares when I come home from this at 4 o'clock. My son runs up and hugs me, mm-hmm. goes, Daddy, and runs up to me. So that's why I can't do podcast Monday night. That's why when people ask me to do stuff, I can't do it. That's why when Bravo goes, hey, we want you to do a show in New York, we'll pay you this much money. I'm like, not happening.
Yeah.
You could pay me. Beyonce money. I'm not going out there. I'm telling you, man. I've done cool shit. There's nothing better than having a kid.
Now,
if you're a good dad,
would you consider even before you had the kid? Did you know that you were going to be a good dad in terms of providing and making sure that the kid was safe?
For sure.
That's what we're concerned about.
Oh no way, Bobby's a good person.
No, he's a good person.
So he's going to figure it out.
He's going to offer time and fun. And obviously a lot of those like emotional things, right? But
he's gonna be the
will
funnest
he
dad.
Leave his medication on the counter every day for the kid to open? Probably.
I'm telling you, he won't, because the kid's going to be around and you're going to realize how fragile they are. And the world becomes so scary. So when my kid's at school today, and this is weird, I have the anxiety like I've never had before about my son. I got to worry about, he's in a popular school. I'm like, would a shooter go there? Mm-hmm. So I started looking at other schools.
Oh,
now
shit.
I used to be, and he's three.
Yeah.
I used to be that guy, like Bobby, I'd just leave things out, one thing, everything. Mm. Your mind changes. Everything changes.
Now, and is that a guarantee though? Because if it doesn't change.
Guarantee it is. Guarantee is because he's not a bad person.
He's not.
You wouldn't be with him if Bobby, right, I guarantee you he will change. And I'm saying, it's not even a change. You don't even know what's happening. Like my financial advisor goes, remember when you tell him we're going to have a kid? I go, yeah. He goes, let me show you the income you had before he was born. Let me show you a year later. Mm-hmm. I subconsciously didn't do anything. I just went into this dad mode. I'm like, oh shit, I got a kid on the way. I need to get my shit together. And I already had my shit together, respect, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
But you just naturally go in this dad mode and all these other revenue streams start coming in, or this thing I was thinking about doing, I fucking did it. Now it's killing it for me. This thing over here, I'm thinking about touring this much. I tore that much. Mm-hmm. So all these certain things start happening that just subconsciously as a papa now, it happens.
Wow. That's incredible. That was the best pitch I've ever heard when it comes to kids.
And I don't say that to everyone. There's certain people go, dude, should I have kids? I go, I don't know, man. You got to figure it out. Because kids are so, you know, I'm just like, nah, you figure it out. Yeah, that's me being like, fuck no.
Yeah.
But there's certain people I meet where I'm like, you got to have kids.
And here's
my thing, Bobby. And I don't know you that well, but the time I spent with Bobby, the world's filled with shit, sometimes shit people. You owe it to the world, and you have skills.
Don't fucking do that.
I'm serious. You owe it to people to have
like
kids.
Like I'm Neo in Matrix. I'm not Neo from Matrix.
No. Hold on, Bobby. Yeah. Because you're a good person. You've gone through experiences that you can pass down to a child.
That's where it gets a little hairy, because him and I both have murderers in our families, addiction.
Oh, come on.
But eugenics, we're bound to make a serial killer.
No, you're not. Get out of here.
Yeah,
but
we're not.
You've learned
from
it. You
know we're not.
You guys are two good people. But also, those serial killers and those shit people in your family start because they have shitty parents.
That's
true. Serial killer kids. That guy. Look at him right now.
I believe that. Although right. I love 100%. The shirt's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, your kid is like fucking the new Cho Sung Lee or something.
You have kids?
No.
No Never. One ever has kids?
No one. He can't fuck. How old are you? Fuck that?
How old are you?
39.
You got to get going.
No.
How old? Got to get going.
29. I'm going to get you're married good. Next no, you're, year.
You, give it up.
Whoa. Really? That soon? My dad had me when he was 60.
Got to get it going.
He
Can we get a freeze frame on that face and make that the thumbnail?
Yeah. Just so. Yeah. Like Theo's dad was 70.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's her. Her dad was the same.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have demons something. From it?
Do I have what?
Demons from it.
What kind of demons?
You tell me.
I do.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I think that growing up with a really old dad was really difficult because I saw him withering away. And the weirdest part about it, not weird, I regret it now, but I didn't understand it as a child. But when my dad would come visit me in school, I was ashamed. Because everyone was like, oh, your grandpa's here. And I'm like, I would try to like
run away.
That's
what I was referring to. I'm not being mean at all.
I feel fucked up about it now. I'm like, why did I do that as a child? But I was embarrassed of my gray-haired old father.
But when you're a kid, you don't realize it. Like, I had a friend whose dad was super old. I remember he was super embarrassed about it. So that's why I asked, do you have demons? Because he has, I don't call him demons. He has, I would say, monsters.
Yeah, but Steve Martin was in the 60s, right, when he had a kid. You think his kid is embarrassed to Steve Martin?
Not now, different but as animal. A child, when it's
a child,
different.
It'd be tough.
But if you're a kid and Steve Martin's your dad, you'd be like, yeah, that's my dad. He's old, but he's Steve Martin.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest names in the world, so I think it's a little different. But in general, like, if you talk to Theo about it, I think you look at the world different when your dad's like, you know, you're in your 14, 15, he's dying, man. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck is going on here?
And it's not like my dad was some like decrepit old man when I was younger either. He would come in, he looked like a mafioso. He would always come in a suit, dark glasses, fucking attaché case all the time. Like he was like James Bond. Yeah. But even then,
and
the
Father
fact that
Time
he
goes,
was,
cool story. Let me touch you on the shoulder.
But even then, he was a gray-haired, obviously older guy, and I just didn't want my friends to know that was my dad. I know.
It's a bummer, right?
It's so fucking sad.
I wish I met him.
Yeah, he was dope.
Yeah.
Unhelpful advice.
Okay. You guys would be great parents, though.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby Kalila at Brendan Shaw.
Hi, this is a girl. I'm 21 years old, and lately I've had some trouble with alcohol. I've been drinking since I was 15, and I drink heavily like every 2 weeks when going out with friends. During the past 6 months, I've had a really hard time controlling myself when I drink. On St. Patrick's Day, I made out with a 45-year-old Uber driver, who my friend said was not attractive. Kept saying many inappropriate things and gave my number to him.
Probably had a great personality.
Another time I got a ride from strangers on the street. When I arrived at my location, I puked in their washing machine.
Oh, goddamn. Yeah.
But the worst thing was last night where I hooked up with my soon-to-be cousin, who is also a girl. I consider myself straight, and it was the first time with a girl. It's after this time, I feel like I really fucked up, and I can't get over this amount of guilt. I see her at every family event. I'm scared she's going to tell my family or something. Should I quit drinking, and am I being overdramatic, or is it just typical 21-year-old behavior?
I love that. It's just 21, man. No, it's not. You got a problem.
We'll call her Sally.
Sally likes to party.
Here's what I think I like about Sally is a lot of alcoholics aren't aware. They're in such denial that they're not self-aware in that way. So she... What's the matter?
No, we'll talk about it later.
But she's looking at her behavior, right? Those are the ones that can get sober.
She already knows it's an issue. When she's writing all that stuff, with her going, do you guys think I have a problem? You know you got a problem. You wrote all that shit. Of course you have a problem.
Especially if that's way... Like, if it deviates so far from your normal behavior, the things that you're doing while you're drinking deviate so far from who you... Like, I'd fuck a 45-year-old when I was 21, and if he was an Uber, I'd fuck him anyways, and that doesn't deviate. So if I'm drinking and I do that, that's not far from my baseline, is what I'm saying. But if that's so far-fetched from your usual behavior, you have a problem.
Well, you have a problem, but she's relying on her age. So let's say you were 31, and you just told everyone what you're doing. People are like, you need to get your shit together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
At 21, I wasn't doing that shit.
Really?
No, God, no. Oh, that's God. Shit to do.
But even when I was, got sober before I was 17, at 16, I remember being at my friend Brady's house, and we ditched school, and I was a sophomore in high school, and we're smoking pot, and Brady said something to me that stuck with me forever. We're smoking pot, and he looks up at me, and he goes...
He's white as shit.
Yeah. He's like, dude. You know we're going to be doing this forever.
Oh, no. Thank God
and
he did that.
And when he said that to me,
thank God he did that.
I went, hand me that thing. Right? Give it to me right now. And then I blew out and I was like, holy fuck. I had a sense of dread. Every party, I would wake up in the next morning and be so aware of what I did and know that it wasn't normal, right? And these are the kind of things that got me sober. There's a lot, like my ex-roommate, I don't want to say his name, so many times I would tell him, I go, I think you have a drinking problem. And he was like, no, I don't. Even though he would wake up in a gutter, right, on Hollywood Boulevard.
What did he do for work?
Bartender. And he's still doing that, you know? So it's like, you know, and every time you would say something to him, he would completely deny it and go, that's normal, right? But this girl seems like she has that awareness, which is a good thing, I think.
And I think the biggest telltale is that she feels badly.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing is fucked up.
Yeah.
Also, how do you think this ends? You keep doing that? Where do you think you're going to end up? Mm. No one's successful doing that shit.
Yeah. That post-drinking binge guilt is quite possibly something I could live without for the rest of my life. I hate that feeling.
What's the worst thing you did drunk?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a big drinker. I'm more a drinker now. I started doing stand-up comedy. But I was always in sports, so I was, alcohol and drugs weren't really a thing for me.
You know, I also realized, and I thought this just now, is that you dress pretty good.
Yeah, I like fashion.
I know, but like, but even like...
How would you rate what he's wearing stand-up, Bobby? How would you rate his communist gear for today?
I like the color palette.
I wouldn't want Bobby anything else. That's Bobby. That's Bobby's flavor. I couldn't... Like, if I wore that, people are like, you look ridiculous. For Bobby, it looks pretty cool. Like, that is a style. Like, I've had this conversation with Rogan. He goes, dude, I don't like fucking fashion. I'm like, hold on. That's fine. What you're doing, that is a style. That shirt, those tight-ass jeans, your shoes, that's the fanny pack. That is a form of a style. You've made a conscious effort to dress like that. Yeah. I made a conscious effort to dress like this.
Yeah, I also like dressing like a Fraggle or some like a otherworldly kind of like, you know, creature, a felt kind of creature.
Mm. He goes to these like really obscure shops on Vermont and he buys very specific Japanese farmer pants with a pocket in front for the seeds.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See, that's dope.
For harvest.
But people don't know. So when people don't know, so when like I'm on a, like I was in Phoenix and I had to take a shuttle from the car rental place to the airport.
Nothing worse.
And I walked in and a woman took her kid and went, come here, and pulled the kid close to her. That's because weird. I was coming on board.
No.
Yeah. It happens all the time. Like, I'm so sort of,
because she thought your pants were flipped the other way around.
No, I just thought you were crazy. I have this thing where I just look like I don't belong.
I disagree. You look like an artist. You dress like an artist.
I also, 10 times in my life, I've been at a hotel and security have come up to me and goes, you can't loiter here.
That's...
And I always go, oh, I'm sorry, I have a... And they, oh, excuse me, sir. Oh, wow. I look like I can't even afford a hotel room.
It's true, because we got the new house, furniture shopping. And they look at us like we're peasants.
Yeah.
And we go into...
Can we help you?
They should know better, especially in Hollywood.
I know.
Yeah.
Of course this guy does something in the arts, you morons.
Or I could be like homeless.
Not really.
Is there another one?
Oh, that's it for that
one.
Shout out to that.
So I want to plug your Showtime thing.
Yes, sir.
What are your handles?
At Brendan Schaub for everything.
Can I ask you this too? One last thing, and before we go, how come you guys
I'm in Cleveland next week.
Oh, yeah. You had Hilarities?
Hilarities, Cleveland, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Have you been to that club before?
I have not. Oh, wow. Are you okay? All right.
I'm going to tell you this right now and ask anyone, but you're going to say it after. There's this guy named Nick who owns the place that you're playing.
Okay.
He is in his 70s.
Sure.
He looks like his body is like a young man, like an early 20s athlete.
He's like Brian Callen?
Yeah. He is so fit, so kind.
Oh, nice.
So generous.
Is there anything better than a good like manager owner?
You're going to walk away from that. I'm about to cry.
Me and him are going to start a podcast together?
You might. That dude right there, I'm so jealous you're doing that room.
Oh, wow. Now I'm excited.
That's
to
one
do
of
it.
My favorite rooms
oh, wow.
of
I'm super
all
excited to do it.
Time, dude. Of all time.
Oh, wow. I'm super excited
of Nick.
To do it now. Wow.
And when you,
shout out to Nick.
Do you eat meat?
Yeah, I eat meat.
When you do press.
Do I? Take a look
at the guy that drives around at Scott. ask him to take you to the best pastrami breakfast place.
Oh, wow.
On earth.
All right.
It's like a hole in the wall, but it's packed. And I eat there every time. You're going to love that fucking club. If you're in Cleveland, guys, go to Hilarious to see Brendan Schaub. It's a great room. He's a great comic. And I want to say this, dude. I really like you a lot, man. And I don't know why you guys stopped asking me to do Fighter and the Kid.
Get out of here.
But I'm not going to take it personally.
Dude, you could call me every Monday. No. Hey, I want to do Fighter and Kid on Wednesday. No. We'd have you every Wednesday.
No. You guys are strong-arming me.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Open-door policy.
It's not. But fuck you.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then.
I thought we loved each other.
Yeah, fuck you, man.
All right, I'll take that.
Give him a round of applause. I loved it. Come on, give him a round of applause. Anyway.
Thanks again to our sponsors, Postmates, Goat, and Hims. Get $100 free delivery credit for your first 7 days using Postmates with the promo code BELLY. Find the perfect 100% authentic sneaker at goat.com/belly and get started with Hims' new premature ejaculation treatment or any of their classic products for just $10 by going to forhims.com/tiger. Thanks to everyone who wrote us an iTunes review last week. Nosotros papaya to you. And to everyone else, email us a question to adviceunhelpful@gmail.com. Have a good day. Shukuluki mukisalaman fi tampoko bani ay makabalo.